From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. There's a lot going on today on the program. First, we take a modern look at classic albums. That's a new segment with John Modern, a jockey of discs and professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College, right here in Lancaster. This month, John breaks down the 1978 debut album from Devo, Are We Not Men? We Are Devo. Next, a chat with Linda Davis from the Music Makers of Lancaster Project with an update on what's happening in 2013. And finally, Charlie and Oliver from the Straybirds check in before they head back out on the road later this week.
It's been kind of like this, kind of a crazy dream in some ways. Yeah, it's been pretty wild. Exceeded my expectations.
Coming up, the Straybirds, Linda Davis from the Music Makers of Lancaster, and John Modern with a modern look at classic albums. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. This week on Wednesday evening, January 23rd, catch Derry Miller and the Vale, the Lizard Lounge, for a free show starting at 8 p.m. The band will be introducing their new drummer at the show, so don't miss it. The Lizard Lounge is on the lower level of the Chameleon Club. That's at 223 North Water Street in downtown Lancaster. On Friday, January 25th, Series 42 presents J.P. Harris and the Tough Choices at the Burning Bridge Tavern just over the river to our west in Wrightsville. J.P. is based out of Nashville but spends most of his time on the road, spreading his honky-tonk goodness to all corners of this country. Thomas Brian Eaton from Brooklyn, New York, opens the show at 8:30. It's J.P. Harris, Friday night, January 25th, at the Burning Bridge Tavern. For a full interview with J.P., check out episode number 60 of this program at our website, woodstovehouse.com. Mark your calendars for Thursday, January 31st, as WXPN welcomes the Straybirds at the World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. The Birds are heading back out on the road and won't be spending much time in the area, but you have this last chance to catch them live at one of the best venues on the East Coast. The show starts at 8 p.m. and includes an opening set by Boku Blue. It's the Straybirds at World Cafe Live, Thursday, January 31st. Stay tuned to this episode for a conversation with Charlie Mench and Oliver Craven from the Straybirds a little later in the program. My first guest today is John Modern, professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College and the co-host of Solid Side Vinyl on WFNM 89.1 here in Lancaster. John will be joining us from time to time with a modern look at classic albums. First up, it's the debut album from the legendary pop rock band Devo. Are We Not Men? We Are Devo from 1978. Here's John Modern.
Devo, in a sense for me, is always thinking about the boundary between the human and the machine. What separates those two things? Where does the human end and the machine begin? Or is that even the right question to ask?
John's relationship with the band as a fan goes way back to his youth, living outside of Akron, Ohio, Devo's hometown.
I think I've come at this album on two different levels. The first is simple and pure nostalgia. I grew up outside of Akron, Ohio, and the album I'm talking about is Devo's 1978 Are We Not Men? We Are Devo. Their debut album, and I was 7 years old at the time, and I have to admit, I was not aware of the album when it first came out, but when I started thinking about music in a serious way and listening to music in a serious way, by about 1980, 81, Devo was huge in Akron. They're the hometown heroes. Whippet came out about that time, their big hit. And so Devo has this kind of attraction to me. It's the origins of my, you know, serious listening kind of mode, which I've been in now for, I guess, over 30 years, hopefully I can say. And so that's one level. But then my current interest as an adult, I'm interested in philosophical questions that revolve around technology and critiques of technology, and particularly religious critiques of technology. And I think there's a strange way in which Devo fits perfectly into my current kind of job description, my current interest. And so it has a kind of bookend kind of effect to my life. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah
That's Uncontrollable Urge from Devo's 1978 album, Are We Not Men? We Are Devo. We're taking a modern look at this classic album with John Modern on Around the Wood Stove.
I think this album for me, you know, as I mentioned before, what I love about Devo is distilled up on this album in terms of a running commentary on the ways and means of technology within our human lives. What does it mean? What is its role? What is its place? You know, what is it doing to the world? What is it doing to us? Is there even a difference between it and us to even be questioned? And so, for example, the first side, you know, starts with Uncontrollable Urge, a song about human desire, right? Never named in the song, never named the desire itself. It's just about, you know, the desire, a kind of energy of maybe perhaps the spark of the human. And then it goes into the cover of I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, which is another song about desire, desire ever deferred, always on the horizon. And the Rolling Stones in, I don't know, 1964? When is that? I Can't Get No Satisfaction, around their mid-60s. You know, a kind of commentary on the promises of commodity capitalism, always promising us everything, you know, promising us a new self every time we buy a new shirt or a pack of cigarettes. And so there's already a real critique there, but Devo takes it and turns it into this kind of, they turn it into an example of the commodification that the Stones were critiquing, and that commodification of the song then becomes itself a kind of second level critique. Right? It's amazing in that sense. And then the third song, this is only on the first side. We're like 8 minutes into the album at this point. We get one of my favorite songs called Praying Hands. And I'm just going to read a couple lyrics here. It starts off, it's very short. You got your left hand, you got your right hand. The left hand's diddling while the right hand goes to work. You got both hands. You got praying hands. They pray for no man. Yeah, right? You know, and so there's a flip here. You have these first two songs which are bringing up human desire, you know, perhaps the question of what is the human. He turns it into this sort of kind of downward spiral critique of I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Then we have this song which is saying that perhaps there's no human to pray to, right? There's no human to sort of worship, no human to sort of make into a better self. And then we end with their classic Jocko Homo, which is based on a track that Mark Mothersbaugh was very much into in the early 1970s in northeastern Ohio. It's a pamphlet that he had gotten. It's called Jocko Homo, or Heaven Unbound, and it's by a minister named B.H. Shattuck, and he's a fundamentalist Protestant Christian who in the 1920s is writing a lot of these pamphlets that are advocating, you know, literal interpretations of the Bible, theories of creationism, and this is a kind of critique of evolution and science, and you know, the notion of progress. Things aren't getting better; they're getting worse. Things are de-evolving, right? And so somehow, strangely, Mark Mothersbaugh picks this up and then weaves it into the whole Devo aesthetic. And this one song, Jocko Homo, kind of riffs upon the kind of metaphysics embedded in this fundamentalist critique of modernity. They tell us that we lost our tails. Eat all the apples from the hillsdale. I say it's all just wind and sail. Are we not men? We are Devo. Are we not men? Devo. And he ends with this kind of call and response, a kind of classic sermonic style, particularly with an African-American religious history. You know, the preacher says something, the crowd returns, it goes back and forth. And this song, Jocko Homo, ends with a call and response. Are we not men? We are Devo. Are we not men? We are Devo. In this kind of, no longer a kind of call and response, an exclamation of communal salvation, but some sort of fascist nightmare of just like, in line, obeying to authority. Mm. We are Devo.
What is their position? Is Devo a belief, or is Devo a sarcastic irony?
That's a great question. And I don't have a straight answer for that. I mean, they're drawing from a lot of things. They're also drawing things from like the Church of the Subgenius, you know, this sort of strange religion that the same kinds of question gets put to this, you know, so-called religion. Is it a religion? Is it simply a kind of mockery of religion? Is it simply a kind of conceptual art project feigning to be a religion in the form of an art project? I mean, just kind of moving down these questions about where, you know, where Devo's coming from. They're drawing from all this stuff where the boundary between, I guess, sincerity and satire, or sincerity and parody, or sincerity and irony, I think they don't buy into that distinction.
Talk about side two.
Side two begins with a wonderful title of a song, Too Much Paranoias, in the plural, right? Which is a kind of just a pun, right? You know, I mean, what happens when you get, paranoia gets excessive? Well, then you have too many paranoias, right? it's sort of...
I guess you're paranoid about many things.
Yes, yes.
Or many people just paranoid.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and this is a song that, you know, this is an explicit commentary, you know, this like, think I got your dial tone. Think I got Billy Baxter's bone. Think I got a bubble sack. Think I got a Big Mac attack. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. You know, this kind of overwhelmed by, again, this promise of the world in which we live. This, you know, we look at the commercials. We look at the, signs at McDonald's. And they're just promising us so much. All the colors and bells and whistles. And we buy into that promise, I think, at our own, you know, at a certain kind of price. Next song, Gut Feeling. Again, uncontrollable urge, gut feelings, you know, always returning, kind of going back and forth to the from this kind of large, abstract, you know, critique of capitalism or consumerism, whatever that might be, but always returning to urges, gut feelings and desires, hands, you know, the human body, the human form, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a nice dialectic in this album. It kind of goes back and forth on that front. There's no resolution. The album doesn't have an easy answer. But as, again, all great works of metaphysics, you know, by the end of it, you have more questions than you began with. And I think that's a really sign of a work of, again, I'll say it the second time, awesomeness.
That's a modern look at classic albums with John Modern, talking about the 1978 debut album from Devo, Are We Not Men? We Are Devo. John is a professor of religious studies at Franklin and Marshall College right here in Lancaster, and the co-host of Solid Side Vinyl along with Jeremy Seedorf on WFNM 89.1. Sit back and relax with Solid Side Vinyl every Thursday night from 9 to 11 p.m. at 89.1 on your FM dial. Next up on the program, it's Linda Davis from the Music Makers of Lancaster Project. The project was inspired by her work on the 100 Strangers Project, where photographs and a short profile of random people are posted on Flickr. Linda was person number 36 from around the globe to complete 100, but she wasn't finished snapping photos or writing profiles. As a lifelong music junkie, Linda decided to spin off a similar project called the Music Makers of Lancaster. She first lived in the area for a little over a decade, starting in 1979.
I'm originally from Berks County, grew up in Sinking Spring, a little town. One Spring, not Springs, Sinking Spring. And graduated 1979, came to Millersville, English major, on the radio station, my roommate and I. And started off on AM and went to FM. And I was the promotions director. So, I had a couple of events here in Lancaster then, which Susquehanna River Band was a huge band who played all of the bars, and then a new band called the Scumatics, because at that time, you know, Joe Jackson was just coming out, and, you know, Talking Heads, XTC, The Clash. So it was an interesting band that was different than the norm in Lancaster. And most of my time I worked downtown in a place called the Orange Street Tea Shop, which is now on Orange, and it was for years called Wish You Were Here. So all the newspaper people came down there, the Independent Eye, Lip, which was like the Village Voice of Lancaster, this funky magazine, always had the theater people there, and everyone hung around, and you know, we'd go out and dance at the Chameleon when it was the back room. I really got to love this town.
Linda left the area in 1991, but returned a couple years ago after being away for 20 years.
At that time, I was in the midst of a volunteer photography project called 100 Strangers. And I had just taken a few pictures of people, and I had a lot of photos on my computer and was looking for a place, space. So I went to Flickr because I had heard about it, and stumbled upon 100 Strangers. And basically, you go up to 100 different people. You could just take a photo, find out a little bit about them. And I really got into that project. I chose a lot of fringe people. You know, the first person I met, I was at Senorita Burritos, and I came walking out, and I looked at a car and started to laugh. It looked like, I said, looks like your car is chickenpox. And literally, there are like 70 like punch marks out of this guy's, you know, front fender. And I said, what's that? And he said, oh, it was a snow accident. And I said, well, I don't get it. And he said, oh, I tried to bang it out. And literally, he had a hammer underneath, and it looks like chicken pox. After doing it once or twice, any normal person would have stopped, and he didn't. So, and I thought, I can do that project, and started that. And at the time, you were only allowed to do 100 people. That was the rules. And as I was winding down in the high 70s or 80s, I thought, oh, you start to get a little obsessed. I thought, what am I going to do now? And I thought, I could start doing some musicians. That would be kind of interesting because they're usually interesting people and have a good story.
When Linda moved back to Lancaster, she reconnected with some of the musicians she had known back in the 80s, particularly Steve Chambers from the Modern Icons and now Music for Everyone. Steve provided a jumping off point for Linda's new project.
Some of the people were people that I knew, and I got to kind of fill in some gaps in history since I had been gone for 20 years to find things out, and just great stories. So Steve gave me Dave Lefevre's name, and after he came and I interviewed him, he was just finishing his first album, and he referred me to very different and unique musicians or music makers in the area, one of which is Berta Meyer, who lives in Marietta. She's a poet. She's in her 70s, and she's Danish, and she had had a series of children's poems, and she ended up getting an album together. So somebody else did the, you know, the music and the singing, but it was, you know, Chad Kinsky and Trixie Griner and Loretta Ballou, and it was Dave Lefevre, and so many other people played on it that I started hearing names around and seeing that they were playing around town. And I thought, I want to know who those people are, but I need something to connect people with and sort of the projects that they're working on. And so once I was learning that, things started to brighten up. My world here started to brighten up for me a little bit. So kind of rolled with that.
The Music Makers Project isn't just about active musicians out playing in bars and coffee shops. It's an inclusive project with people from all walks of life who are making music or simply contributing in some way to making music happen.
Some of the people aren't playing actively out anymore, or they play, or they're involved in music in another way. They could be an instrument maker. So when we say music makers, they don't necessarily have to be a musician per se, but someone who's involved in making music and connecting with other people. So
the Music Makers of Lancaster started in March of last year, but after only a dozen or so profiles, Linda put the project on the back burner for about 7 months. She's committed to ramping the project back up in 2013 and currently has a handful of other writers who will be helping out. You can find the project on Flickr and can link up to it from the show post for today's episode at woodstovehouse.com. We'll also link to the public Facebook group where you can contact Linda if you're interested in helping out or if you have a Lancaster music maker to recommend for the project. Thanks to Linda Davis for stopping by to chat. We'll keep you posted on what's happening with the Music Makers of Lancaster right here on Around the Wood Stove. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, So if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com.
Work, work my hands, work my hands till the blistered, bloody damned. Walk, walk my feet, walk my feet down the dirt roads, the alleys and the streets. Shine my light, shine my light down the dark holes, the tunnels and the nights. You know my name.
In less than 2 years, the Straybirds have gone from a part-time duo to a full-time nationally touring folk trio. In the beginning, the duo performed when touring musician Oliver Craven and Berklee School of Music student Maya DeVitri happened to be in their hometown of Lancaster at the same time. The trio also includes bassist Charlie Mensch, and together they've landed a spot on NPR's Top 10 Americana Records of 2012 with their self-titled debut album that was released last summer. The Birds were on this program just before that album was released and just before they headed out on the road for a long stretch of dates to support it. Charlie and Oliver stopped by the Candy Factory last week to take a look back at where they've been so far on their journey, and I asked them if 2012 was what they had expected. Here's Charlie Mensch.
I think it definitely met expectations and exceeded them for me.
Yeah.
Especially the, I mean, everyone keeps telling me, I think a lot of people saw that it was on the NPR Top 10 Americana of Albums of the Year. And I mean, if you would have asked me that in the beginning of this year, if this time last year, I mean, gosh, I would have never thought, really,
right.
You know. So it's been kind of like this, kind of a crazy dream in some ways. Yeah, it's been pretty wild. Exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, it's been really good. I mean, I just think it's really nice to have worked really hard on something, and put time and energy into it, and to have people recognize it, for, you know, what you want it to be recognized for. You know. There are a few, we'd be lying if we didn't say there are a few key players who have been good at bringing our music to large numbers of people. Like Linda Fahey up at Folk Alley has been incredibly supportive of us and did like a first listen and has just really done a lot for us. And, you know, we've also been sort of amassing a team of people this year who have knowledge and ability to help us get our music into places, you know, like we promoted the record with Charterhouse Music out of Ambler, PA, and that's been a really good relationship that we're still building. And we also, you know, we started working with a booking agent in April of 2012, which certainly got us in front of some people that we probably wouldn't have been able to put ourselves in front of in the first place by
right.
ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think there have been, and also our engineer for the record, Stuart Martin down at Stonebridge, a lot of people have put faith in us and have taken a risk on us, you know, just, you know, the fact that we didn't have like any sort of name, we weren't the most valid candidate for, you know, the new band to take on or whatever, you know, but people have been generous with their time and their abilities and have believed in us and helped us to get people to hear the music. And so we're just really glad that we are working with the people who we are working with.
Yeah.
The band has been spending a lot of time on the road, so I was curious about some of the highlights and lowlights. Here's Charlie on one of the band's favorite shows.
We opened up for John Fulbright in Tulsa, I think it was in September, late August, September, and it was a great, great time meeting him and hearing him play. You know, that was Maya always likes talking about that one, so I'll just speak for her because she's not here.
This year we really spanned the gamut of you know, we played for seven people, pizza and beer, and like three people were listening and cared. And we've also played in front of several hundred people, and you know, everybody bought a ticket to come in, you know. And so like one of the ones that was kind of like that was really good was a Ripton Community Coffee House up in Ripton, Vermont. Really small community, nothing else going on. Everybody just come out to the show. You know, it was a lot of fun. Sounded and looked great.
It was like a small, like New England meeting house.
Yeah, it was cool.
Mm-hmm. And they have concerts there once a month or so. And, you know, it was a beautiful hall, balcony, and completely full, and it was it was amazing.
It was great. They said that we set their merch sales record, so that was cool. Yeah, we've had some crazy ones too. Like we were out in Denver, and it was very unorganized, and the guy didn't even know we were coming, and then he paid us a third of what we were supposed to get, and we had to just disagree about that. So it's been high and it's been low.
Left my home, I was 17, and I was looking for a job. When I met them no good friends of mine, they gave me all kinds of bad advice, and they taught me how to rob. Said they'd always be there down the line, be there down the line.
That's 25 to Life from the Stray Birds on Around the Wood Stove. I'm talking with Oliver Craven and Charlie Mensch, two-thirds of the Lancaster-based folk trio. The band will be heading back into the studio in the spring to start working on the follow-up to their self-titled debut full-length album that came out last year. That album starts with Dreamin' Blue, a song written by the Stray Birds' Maya DeVitri that has been a standout track, receiving national attention for the band.
I didn't expect it to be like the song, you know, whatever you want to call it, the single, or, but I remember taking it and listening back in the studio like right after, and I thought it was pretty special. It was just Maya and I believe, tracked it together. And Oliver, you might have been on that live take too, but you were just in the other room and we couldn't see you. Mm-hmm. But it was like the second
Fiddle
one.
Island.
Yeah, we called it Fiddle Island. It was this remote fiddle tracking zone. Anyway, I remember it feeling pretty special on the second take, and especially Maya's vocals were like, I don't know, she's got like this delivery in the studio that is unbelievable.
Here's Dreamin' Blue by the Stray Birds on Around the Wood Stove.
I dream in blue. I drown in dew. I left home on account of you. Always loving someone new. I dream.
Thanks to Oliver Craven and Charlie Mensch from the Stray Birds for stopping by the Candy Factory for an update. You can catch them at the World Cafe Live in Philly on Thursday, January 31st, before they head back out on the road. The show starts at 8 p.m. and features an opening set from Philly's Boku Blue. Find out more about the band online at thestraybirds.com You can link up from the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.